It was about in the year 1996. I drove up from the southern part of Canada, Ontario, to a place in the northern region of the province to be in a gospel meeting. I spent some time with a family that they who gave me some a bed and a place to stay. His name was James Nicholson, and it was Saturday night about 10 o'clock. And he said, "Would you come with me?" And I said, "Sure." So he was about 70 years of age, an old gospel preacher, and we went to the barn. And we took the four-wheeler. It was getting quite dark. But he said, "It's okay." So I took a seat on the four-wheeler, and we drove into the night. He had a big bush around his house, and we drove for about 5 minutes, and we were in the middle of nowhere. Only trees. And because of the light of the four-wheeler, we could see where we were going. Then at a certain moment, he said, "We need to step off." So we stepped off. He said, "I want you to lay on your back." I was not scared, but I thought, what is happening here? So I laid myself down on my back, and he laid beside me. And then he said to me, "Look up." We saw the stars. And he started to say and give a testimony about the greatness of God. He said, "Look at these stars. God made them all. Look at these stars. God knows every one of them." He said, "Look at these stars. There you see the big bear. There you see the small bear." We lay there about 10 minutes. And these are 10 minutes of my life that I will never forget. Because James talked to me about the greatness of God. He talked about the infinite knowledge of God. He talked about the infinite power of God. He talked about everything about God, everything in relation to his greatness. And that was powerful. It was about 1996, so it is about 30 years ago. But I can still vividly remember every part of it. Joshua chapter 4, the crossing of the Jordan. We read in verse 4 through 8, "Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said, 'Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel.'" And then it says that this may be a sign among you when your children ask you in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean?" Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for you a memorial to the children of Israel forever. An amazing story is finding place here. After 40 years of wanderings in the wilderness, The next generation Israelites eventually got to go into the promised land by the lead of Joshua. And then, of course, God gives Joshua the command, take those 12 stones, each one for every tribe, and when it will be a sign among you, and when your children ask you, what do these things mean? It shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Can you imagine? They stood on one side of the Jordan. The water was flowing. But the text will tell us God stopped the waters from flowing at a certain point, and the Israelites were able to cross over to the other side. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Doesn't that tell us something about the greatness of our God, the love of our God, the power of our God, the infinite wisdom of our God? And that's, brethren, if I'm not mistaken, that's where the focus is. It told them something about the greatness of God. The memorial was set to tell the next generation about the greatness and the power and the infinite wisdom of God. In the same chapter, it says in verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea also, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. And then look at verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mightily, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Those words of verse 24 are deep. That all the peoples of the earth, first it was only for the children, first it was only for the generation of the Israelites, but now it even speaks about all the people of the world. That the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Brothers and sisters, what a powerful memorial. A powerful time. And it would last into all the generations, talking about the greatness, the might of God. And brothers and sisters, isn't that something that we all need? Yes. Isn't that something that we all need when times of trouble come? And guess what? The children of God are not free of trouble. Amen. We're living in a time of the health and wealth gospel. Well, you read the 66 books of the Bible. Yes. It doesn't talk about health and wealth. No. It talks about the trials of the children of God. But please remember, it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with our infirmities. It doesn't end with our trials. It doesn't end with our difficulties. It ends with, the Lord your God is mighty and able. That is the gospel. Look at Exodus chapter 12. We mentioned the Red Sea, but in Exodus chapter 12, verse 26 through 28, It says this, 26:28, and it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. In chapter 13, verse 8, it says, and you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. Verse 14, so it shall be when your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what is this? That you shall say to him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It is powerful. And this is our God. He is still the same. The same today, yesterday, and forever. Now, when we consider those memorials, it says in Joshua chapter 4, verse 6, that it was a sign. Chapter 4, verse 7 says it is a memorial. Now, of course, even in our day, we have a lot of memorials. Of course, we have Remembrance Day. We remember all the deaths of all the wars worldwide. Some places are for a certain location. So we know the concept of a memorial. We know the concept of a statue. We see people on the streets made out of stone. Why are all these things given? To remember somebody, or to remember a certain event, to remember, and as they often say, lest we forget. And that is the important part of memorials. We see it sometimes even on the side of the road. When you drive your car, when you drive your bike, you see flowers somewhere, and you already know, okay, that means something died. Somebody died in an accident at that specific point. What is the reason for those memorials? Well, according to Joshua chapter 4, verse 22, let your children know. That's the reason for those memorials that God set up, that your children may know. Or, in words of Joshua 4:24, that all the peoples of the earth may know that God is mighty, that you and they might fear the Lord. So, when we look at all of these things and we put them all together, then we see that those memorials were made to bring a certain memory to the next generation. And according to Joshua 4:24, even to the people of all the world. And we know that, right? We know what Rahab said. Rahab said, our hearts melted when we heard. And we find those statements more often in the Old Testament. Oh, we have heard of your God. That is the God Jehovah of Israel. Jehovah was the personal name for the God of Israel. The people of Israel could say, our God, his name is Jehovah. And of course, when those memorials were set up, it was not only a testimony to the Israelites, but it was even a testimony to the people of the world. In that regard, of course, we know that the Israelites had an example function to the world, in which, of course, they sometimes were not good at. They ashamed many times also the name of God. And of course, when you look at the Exodus account, you also find again in Exodus 12, 27 and 13, 14, to remember and to tell your children, to tell the next generation. And that is what we are focusing on this morning, brothers and sisters, lest we forget. Lest we forget. Now, of course, when we talk about the New Testament, we also have a very important memorial. The most important memorial that we have in the New Testament is the Lord's Supper. Now, when we read Luke chapter 22, which of course is the account that helps us to understand and that gives us the reason for the Lord's Supper that we do not necessarily read about in the other Gospels, it says in Luke chapter 22, verse 14 through 23, 22, 14 through 23, when the hour has come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, this, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks, saying to them, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, this is important. And this is important for a number of reasons. Number one, of course, the importance here is that the church of the New Testament, they have a memorial that is called the Lord's Supper. There are some visitors in our audience. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? Why do we do it every week? Maybe you have visited at some point with other groups in Eindhoven or in other places where you see that they observe the Lord's Supper once a month or maybe once every 3 months or even as some do only once a year. Why do we do it every week? Is that because the Church of Christ likes to do it every week? Is it because the Church of Christ somehow, somewhere, made a decision in the past that we do it every week? We follow as best we can. We don't say perfect, but we follow the best we can what we read in Scripture. And Acts chapter 20, verse 7 tells us, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. We are not here to make our own rules. We are here to apply how Jesus gave his covenant. And so that is why we do it every week. And that, of course, is a very important element of our worship service. Amen. To remember the Lord's death until he comes. And what does that help us to understand? It helps us to focus on Jesus. It helps us to focus on Jesus and his death on the cross. It helps us to focus on Jesus and his priesthood, because he is now sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for his people. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that in a world in which you have so many demands on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, demands, demands. We have to do this, we have to do such, we have to do so, we need to go on holidays. All these things are right and good. But we are living in a world in which the focus is on career. Yes. The focus is on health. The focus is on material matters. The focus is on money. And if we're not careful, we can easily be taken into it.
Yes.
What happens on Sunday morning? We take the Lord's Supper. And it reminds us of our shortcomings. It remembers us of our Savior that came because of our shortcomings. It reminds us of a Savior that said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It reminds us of a Savior that says, "I am praying for you." It reminds us of a Savior that says, "I will fight for you." It reminds us of a Savior. And how beautiful is that? In a world where everything is focused on career and materialism and whatever, you name it. What a beautiful moment it is to come to rest and to say, "I am not alone in my battles." To say, "I have a Father who says, I am your shepherd. You will never want." How beautiful is that? What power goes out of that memorial? It brings the soul to rest. I'm a believer, and all things are well. That is what the Lord's Supper will tell us. You are not perfect, but I became perfect for you. It tells us something about Jesus. Even in your battles in this world, you are not alone. What a beautiful memorial. What a wonderful time when the church celebrates that beautiful memorial. And as Jesus says, "Do this in my memory." Now let's make some application. Did you notice that in all of these accounts of those memorials, it was the Father, it was the leaders that played an important role? There is a special task for the fathers. There is a special task for the leaders. And that brings me back to that beautiful moment in Canada with James Nicholson, when he took me out for about half an hour, laying down under the beautiful sky, talking about the greatness and the power of God, talking about how God is able. When God is able to make a star, He is able to watch out for you. Fathers and leaders of the church, when is the last time that you talked with your little son about the Lord's Supper? When was the last time that you took your child out on purpose and saying, "I'm going to take you somewhere and I'm going to talk only about the greatness and the power and the might of God"? Brothers and sisters, in the last while, we have talked a lot about elders. Has it ever occurred to you that you have an influence on your son's life in even becoming an elder? When a young child learns from a very young age about the greatness and the power and the goodness of God, what is the consequence of that? The Bible says in Joshua that they might worship and fear the Lord. There is a direct connection between the memorial, the testimony of the father, the parents, the leaders, and the mind of the next generation. Brothers and sisters, but now especially fathers, those that are raisers of children, mothers, you have an influence on your child. But I want you to notice that. Build memorials for your children. 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. We find there the story that the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines. I let it read you for yourself, but it's about the Ark of the Covenant that was taken captive by the Philistines because the people were in sin. Then on behalf with Samuel, they come to the point that they change their lives. And they are going to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant. It says in verse 12, after all these things happened, after the Philistines were pursued, he drove them back as far as Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped me. Fathers, mothers, those that are leaders, set up your memorials and give that testimony to your little child. I would say this, parents, fathers, mothers, leaders, set up a moment every month to go somewhere with your child and help them to be impressed with the greatness and the power of God. Fathers, mothers, leaders, have something in your home. Maybe you might have a little jar and put a stone in it every time in your relationship with God that you put a little stone in it. That something extraordinary happens. And when visitors come by and they said, hey, what is that jar? Then you talk about the greatness and the goodness and the power of God. Brothers and sisters, in closing, let us be encouraged by those memorials that were set up in a very broad way when it came to the land of Israel. But when you read through the Old Covenant, you find that people set up small memorials. Fathers, mothers, and leaders, make your time with your children. Have those times that you sit down with them. Bring them into the woods. Bring them to the coastal area. Bring them in whatever sphere of nature you can bring them. Sit down with them and intently and passionately talk about the greatness and the goodness and the power and the encouragement that God is and gives for the next generation so that all the people in the world may know. Amen.
Amen.